the critical spirit is really a perversion or a misuse of a discerning spirit. And let me just start off by kind of laying this out here, is that if you have a discerning spirit, it's actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are several gifts of the Holy Spirit: prophecy, teaching, etc. One of them is spirit of discernment. And the spirit of discernment is actually a beautiful gift that is necessary in the body of Christ. And many of us probably have that. Some people call it intuition. Some people call it, you know, some other sort of things. If they're not Christian, if they're not believers in Christ, they end up kind of saying, well, I have an intuition, or I'm just analytical or something like that. But the fact is, it's actually a gift of the Holy Spirit for the body of Christ. Let me tell you something about the discernment and actually every other gift. Those gifts are ultimately to be used to edify, to build up the body of Christ. So keep that in mind as we're talking about this morning, because for those of you here for the first time, first off, we welcome you. We're glad to have you here. But I've titled this series, There's an App for That, because there is always an app in God's Word for everything that we may be struggling with. We started a couple of few weeks ago with how to overcome fear. Last week, we talked about what the Bible says and how we can overcome anger. Today, we're going to look at how we can overcome a critical spirit. And I'm getting these, by the way, these topics from an app that the Faith Assembly has. And if you don't have this yet, I hope that you'll go on your app store and look it up. Just punch in Faith Assembly of God, and you'll see our Faith Assembly logo on there. You can't miss it. It's the one on your bulletin. Just load that thing up, and then you can go on there and create a profile for yourself that'll ask some questions about things that you're struggling with, and then it'll push scriptures to you on a daily basis, once, two, three, four times a day, however often you want, that'll help to encourage you and point you to what God's Word says about how you can apply God's Word to your life and trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome these things. So based on that survey, I'm able to, as the owner, the manager of that app, I get these reports, and I see how many people are using them, how many people is using the app, and how many aren't. By the way, about half of you are, and half of you aren't. So if you have that app, man, go ahead, use that thing, and it'll help push scripture. You can never get enough scripture inside of you to minister to you. But that analysis, I see the things that people are struggling with, and the high. There's multiple 20 different areas. I picked the top 12 because they were fairly high areas that most of us are struggling with, and percentage-wise of the church. Some of us, you know, 5 out of 10. Some of us 3 out of 10. Some of us 2 out of 10. But there's a good high number here. And this was one of them, overcoming a critical spirit. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and I hope that you'll load up that app, get in there, and let God's Word be get into you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Oh, what a great scripture, and this is a great way to do it. You come on Sunday mornings, fantastic, but get God's Word in you every day of your life. Surround yourself, get in close proximity to it, and let Him speak to you. It's a now word, it's a rhema word, it's an alive word. These are not dead words in a book. These are life words that help us every day of our lives to give us direction, strength, help, all of those things. Amen? Amen. So we take this critical spirit and we realize that it's actually a misuse of a discerning spirit. If you look at a critical spirit, the outcome or the results of a critical spirit are usually ones that are negative. They come out negative and they result in a destructiveness to the person that is being spoken to. They feel bad about themselves. They feel awful. They don't feel better. They actually feel worse about the situation that they're in, because it comes out in such a way that it's critical, it's condemning, it's harsh, it's hurtful, it's fleshly, it's all those things. While a discerning spirit, actually the results of it, even though you can get the same information conveyed to you, it actually results in a very upbuilding result in our lives, because it comes out, it has a positive result. In other words, I know for you, and I could speak for you, I know, because I'm a human just like you, and we all feel this way. I would much rather have someone speak to me in such a way where it's going to build me up, speak the truth in love, give it to me, but give it to me in such a way where it's not going to destroy me, right? So that's what I want us to look at this morning, is how can we be more discerning and not be so critical? The Bible talks about out of the mouth and in the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we see these things that are coming out of our lives, and it's coming out, and we see the results of it is that it's actually creating damage and destruction in people's lives, it's not helping. we have to realize that that actually, the root of that is sinful. And I don't want any of us to walk in sin. I don't want any of us to walk around hurting people. And this is the motivation for why I'm sharing this morning, is to say, listen, we can do better. And we must do better. I can do better. I want us to all do better. What does God's word say about how we can do better? I promise you that if it's left unchecked, if we justify it, if we continue walking in this way, feeling like somehow, Pastor, you just don't understand me. God has given this to me, and I'm supposed to say these things because God has put it in my heart, and it's, you know, it's just who I am, and we can, I was born that way, or it's, you know, part of my heritage, or you know, we kind of excuse it away. I promise you that if it's left unchecked, it will be not only destructive to others, but it's also going to be destructive to yourself. And there's a way that we can divert this and head it off at the pass. I know this, that when I'm around critical people, it drains me. It just absolutely, in fact, I dread being around critical people. I know certain people that are critical, and I dread the conversations that I have with them. There's nobody here in this place, I promise you. Actually, I try to avoid them, if at all possible, because I just have to brace myself. Here it comes, another truth being spoken of, potentially a truth being spoken of, but in such a way we just go, oh my goodness, really? Again? You know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? I mean, you walk away, you go, you know, there's some truth in that. But you go, there's got to be a better way to say it, to make me feel better about myself and about the situation. All right. Romans 14, let's turn there. Let's start off to see what the scriptures have to say about this. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you haven't, the scriptures will be on the screen. But I'd love for you to know if that screen is, you're not walking around with a screen like this in front of you all week. You got to know where Romans is in your Bibles. So bring your Bibles. Open up it's in the New Testament. It's kind of right there after the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, you know, Romans, right in there, okay? Romans. I don't want to condescend to you guys, know where Romans is. Chapter 14 is where we're going to go. Romans chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 10. It says this. Romans 14, 10 says, why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother or sister? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written that as I live, says the Lord, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Finally, verse 13 says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And then move to verse 19, and it finishes by saying this, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Edify means build up. That means encourage. That means to not be critical, but to be discerning, to speak the truth in love, to edify, to build one another up. That's what we've been called to do. Listen, I know at your workplace and other parts of your life, you probably get torn down enough. It certainly doesn't belong in the body of Christ. We must guard against it in our hearts, that we don't say things that come out of our mouth that end up devastating people. My goodness, that's not what Jesus would ever do. And the Spirit of Christ in us that we just sang about, that we just welcomed into our lives to make us more aware of, he'll stop those words before they come out of our mouths if it's in our hearts in such a way where we have ought against and we know that it's going to destroy and it's said in such a way where it's hateful and hurting. He'll stop it. And we must, if we have to bite our tongue in half, do so until we learn how to redirect our words in such a way where it edifies and builds up. The Bible is very clear. I can sum up these scriptures in just a few words. Don't judge. Encourage. Don't judge, comma, encourage. Don't judge, but encourage. Or don't judge, but build up. Don't judge, build up. God is the judge. Now, discernment, yeah. If I see something that's going on and the Holy Spirit lays it on my heart, I am responsible to do something about it. But in the right way. Discernment is good, but criticism is not. I'm not here to judge you, and you're not here to judge me. Now, the world takes that and takes it way over here and says, hey, don't judge me, man. I'm just living. No, no, no. We have the Bible as our plumb line. It's our true north. And based on God's word, we live our lives. So we can judge when they're in obvious disobedience, but not to condemn them, but to see where they are, meet them where they are, and bring them to the hope and the glory of Christ in that way. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're not here to judge anybody. We're here to love them into the kingdom and let God be the judge. It's very apparent that some people are living in sin. That's no question. I'm not here to discuss that or to debate that. But we're not here to judge them to condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But those that aren't, we're still not to condemn them. Even though they are walking in sin and they're walking in condemnation, that's God's condemnation to them. But he wants to bring them into relationship. And until their last breath or until the trumpet sounds, they have hope. And we are there to be an extension of Christ to them and say, what can I do to be a discerning man or woman, to speak into your life, to draw you into relationship with Jesus Christ? That's here in the body of Christ, and we can actually model that. We can actually work that out here so that we can kind of perfect it here so that we can do well out there. But if we're tearing one another down in here, it's pretty much hopeless out there. Why would we want to present that product out there that's going on in here if that's happening, right? I don't want that product. That's a bad product. That'll go out of business pretty soon. That won't sell. So let's sell edifying. Let's sell building one another up and not criticizing. You know, I looked up the definition of criticism. It says to judge, to find fault, to blame, and to condemn. There's a little scripture, or there's a little quote, rather, that I want to put in here at this point. It says this, and it's so true. We tend to judge others by their actions, and we tend to judge ourselves by our intentions. Keep that up for just a second, because in other words, we are really, really hard on other people, but we really go easy on ourselves. We will blast other people at the drop of a hat, but boy, we show ourselves an awful lot of mercy, don't we? Because we know us, but we tend to kind of judge other people by their actions, and we tend to judge ourselves by our intentions. We go really easy on us, and we throw the hand grenades constantly at other people. So what are the root causes of why we're this way? Now, ironically, let me just say right here that because you may struggle with a critical spirit, you may be even critical of this message. So let me just say right now, as I begin to go into the root causes of this, don't get offended. Don't be critical of me. Don't walk out and say, well, that pastor, I'll tell you what, I said, yeah, and I'm not looking for compliments either. I'm just saying, cool it, all right? Because I'm here to help you. We're here to help one another. And I'm just telling you what God's word says, all right? So do you want to walk out of here with a critical spirit? Go ahead and feed it by saying, well, that pastor, he offended me, and I just think he's just blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm not offended by that. I'm cool with that because I know what God's word says, and I'm here to speak the truth in love. I'm here to make sure you walk out of here better, equipped. I'm here to equip you. This station that I'm in, I'm here, the church is here to equip you, right? You're not here to get blessed. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You know, I'm not here. Listen, you can judge me, you can critique me, you can rate me on a scale of 1 to 10. That's between you and the Lord. But if I'm equipping you, I've done my job, and that's between me and the Lord. So I'm here to equip you. That's all. And I'm truly, can I just say this? I love you guys. I really love Kelly and I. So thankful for this body of believers. I get so many compliments from so many people that visit this church of how friendly and how kind and how loving this church is. So we're way ahead of the game here, okay? Let's keep it up. And I'm proud of you guys. Thankful for you guys. What an honor it is for us to be your shepherds and your pastors. So with that said, don't judge this and don't be critical of it. Open up your heart. If you have to, pull back your feet a little bit because it might get some toes stepped on this morning. But if you get offended by this, that probably means that it's hitting right in the middle where it needs to. It's actually a good sign, all right? So just be careful. And here we go. Root causes, number one. Number one, a root cause of why we have a critical spirit is that potentially we could be walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. We could be walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. Write these scriptures down real quick, and then we're going to read about them. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. Walk in the flesh, not in the spirit. Are you walking in the flesh more than the spirit? You say, well, pastor, how can that be? I am a Christian, and I'm spirit-filled. How can I be walking in the flesh? Hey, I am a Christian, and I'm spirit-filled, and I walk in the flesh. Anybody want to join me in that? Yeah, three or four honest people. The rest of you are liars because we all struggle with our flesh at one time or another. Got it? So we are called to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, yet we struggle in that. Let's look at the scripture, Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We read that and we say, oh, lust, I'm not lusting, but there's a lust when it comes to criticizing, because we lust after criticizing because somehow it makes us feel better. There's a lust that's there. It's not just a sexual lust. It's all kind of lust that it's talking about. Verse 16, or 17 then. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're battling against one another. And we're all in this boat together, folks, so that you don't do the things that you wish. See, the thing is that we battle every day. I hate my spouse. I hate my job. I hate my friends. I don't like what they're doing and saying. I wish my kids would, you know, act better. I wish I could make more money. I wish that the president would stop being this, and I wish that this person would stop doing that. I just hate, and every time we watch the news, every time we read the articles, every time we go to school, every time we wake up, for crying out loud. We have the opportunity to either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh, and it's a choice that we make every second of every day. So are you walking in the flesh? Because if you are, then you're going to become critical. It's just going to start coming out. You're already thinking it, and it comes out of your mouth because it's in your heart. Again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's coming out of your mouth? Criticism? That means that you're walking in the flesh. That's what it means. That doesn't mean you're sinful and you're going to hell. That just simply means that you haven't yielded that fully and completely to the Spirit. But the Spirit of Christ in you is never critical. He's always discerning, and he's always building up. So when these words come out of our mouths that are awful and it's destructive, and you see that you've left a wake and a swath of destruction in your path as you're walking down your daily lives, you realize, wait a minute, this is not of Christ. I repent. And it's okay to repent. It's okay to repent. Lord, I repent every day. I wake up every morning and say, Lord, help me. Help me to live a life that's pleasing to you today. And the words that I say and thoughts that I think, that I'd be Spirit-led and not flesh-driven. It's a good prayer to pray. It's a necessary prayer to pray. Because if we don't, we'll fall in the flesh, because there's going to always be opportunities that are going to come our way. They're going to blindside us. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to react in the flesh and get critical and get angry and get fearful and all those other things we've been talking about? Or are we going to say, Holy Spirit, right now, I stop. And it may seem silly to people around us. You may just be going like that. It's like, what's wrong with him? He's having some sort of conniption. And you're just praying, Lord, help me to be Spirit-led here and not flesh-driven. And he'll help you. The Holy Spirit will absolutely help you. He's helped me time and time again. Can you say amen to that? Amen to that. Amen. So don't be flesh-driven. Be Spirit-led. That could be a symptom. Folks, the fact is, when you're flesh-driven, you really rely on your own resources. You really do. I'm going to rely on my own knowledge and my own insight and what I think is happening and what I think I know. But we're limited in what we know and what we think. Very limited. But Christ is unlimited. And he knows the motivations. He knows all the stuff. So as we walk, let's realize this. I promise you, please write this down. We are not a people of despair, but we're a people of hope. And when we walk in the Spirit, we become a people of hope. But when we walk in the flesh, we become a people of despair. We are people of hope, not people of despair. That may help you. Let's move on. Here's another root cause. Maybe we dislike ourselves. Maybe we just don't like ourselves. Maybe because your mom, your dad spoke into your life when you were in your formative years and you've just grown up not liking yourself. Maybe when you were in that awkward teen years and all these mean sixth and seventh graders who ostracized you because you had, you know, zits on your face, or you weren't talented enough, or you were taller than everybody. You know, they're going to always find something and just exploit that oddity in you, which, by the way, all of us, if you want to call that, we all have an oddity because we're all uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made. If you want to call it something negative, that's a critical spirit that says you're different. Of course you're different. Jesus doesn't make duplicates. We're all different. But the critical spirit says, I don't like me, so I don't like you. You know? And so it just lashes out. Maybe we don't like ourselves for whatever reason, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 counters that by saying this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I just want to just stop right here and say, listen, if you don't like yourself, that's not coming from God. That's not coming from God. God loves you. He thinks you're precious. He thinks you're wonderful. He loves you. He made you just like you are. Your height, your weight, the color of your hair, the color of your skin, your personality, everything about you, the way that you think, your talents and gifts and abilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he made you just like he wanted to, because he makes no mistakes and God doesn't make junk. So like yourself because God likes you. And then that way you won't come out and start being critical with people because you don't like yourself. Like yourself because God likes you. All those old things have passed away, all those words that were spoken over your life, all those things that Satan has actually spoken into your life. It says you're this and you're that, you ought to just kill yourself or whatever. Hey, believe me, it happens. Suicide is there. Kids kill themselves or attempt to kill themselves all the time because they look in the mirror and they don't like what they see. And people reinforce that. Mean girls and boys reinforce that. Social media reinforces that. It's just awful. Like yourself because Jesus likes you. Now, don't get all narcissistic about it. Oh, I'm beautiful. I'm handsome. No, I am who I am because God made me who I am, and be confident in that. And that way you can walk more in discernment rather than criticism. Here's the third thing. Maybe another root cause is that maybe we can't see our sin the way God sees it, nor can we see God's grace to the level that we need to. There's really two different things there. We refuse to see the depth of our own sin, and we refuse to see the depth of God's grace. We're just blinded to it. We don't even really think about it. And here's what I mean by that. We see other people and how they walk, how they live, the choices that they've made, their lifestyles, etc., and we judge them. We criticize them when we say, I would never do that, I would never say that, I would never be that way. And at the same time, the one finger that we're pointing that way, remember you got three of them pointing back to you? Remember how that works? Remember when you were a kid? My parents always told me, when you point the finger at someone else, you got three of them pointing right back to you. Because it's easier to deflect and say, them, rather than say, wait a minute, me. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Some of us saved by grace, walking in Christ. But those that are not, you know what? They're living in darkness. They're not regenerated. It's not up to us to point to them and say, you're a sinner. Listen, we're all sinners. Some of us saved by grace. So to see the depth of our sins, to see the reality that we all are sinners, it kind of pushes away that whole holier-than-thou sanctimonious attitude that we have, where we're all religious and serving God and we don't do anything wrong. Listen, that's a bunch of baloney. Push that aside. We all messed up. We're all tainted. We all come to the cross broken, right? There's not one of us, not one person in this place that is perfect and sinless. Not one. Or in this world that has ever lived except Jesus Christ. So we're all in this same company together. And for all of us to say, wait a minute, my sin is less than your sin. No, sin is sin. A murder is the same as a lie in God's eyes. Sin is a sin. We all sin. There's a depth of our sin that we need to come to a realization. And at the same, so James 4:6 talks about this. It says he gives more grace. Therefore, he says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? It means that when God sees you and I, and that as we walk around not seeing the depth of our sin and we cast judgment on other people and criticize them, he's going to resist us. How many wants God to resist you? Nobody wants God to resist you. Nobody. I mean, having God resist you is not a good thing. Mark my words. But he gives grace to the humble. And humble is really a way of saying, listen, you know what? We're equal. I'm just one blind beggar pointing another blind beggar where the food is. I mean, we're just all here together, right? And how many wants God's grace? Sure you do. How many likes grace? Grace is simply just coming up to you and saying, you know what? You deserve punishment, but I'm not going to give it to you. That's grace. In fact, I'll take the punishment. That's what Jesus did. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He took our punishment upon himself. That's grace, and it's amazing. And yet, we don't somehow feel that we can give that to other people. We just judge and criticize. Instead of walking in humility and discerning what the Spirit is saying to us to build them up, to speak into their lives in that way. There's no place for criticism in the body of Christ. Those are the three things as far as root causes. Now, how can we then walk in such a way where we don't have a critical spirit? I'm not saying to be perfect in it. I'm saying how can the Lord help us to overcome this to where it's minimized, it just becomes less and less and less. I want you to understand, in fear, we're always going to fear. We're always going to deal with that because it's a human emotion. We're always going to be angry. It's a human emotion. There's ways to fear healthily, and there's ways to fear that really, it's the opposite of fear is faith. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If you want to listen to that message, it's online on the website. Last week, we talked about anger. There's no good way to anger except one way, and we are angering not at the person but at the sin and the results of what's going on there. We always love the person. Those are human emotions that are normal. God didn't make us to be unfearful, unangry people. That would be robots. We have emotion. We also are critical. That's an emotion. It tends to come out of us. Oh, I just think that it ought to be this way. I know everybody has an opinion. Just like I talked about a couple of months ago, everybody's got a belly button. Everybody's got a belly button. Yeah. I get opinions all the time. And as I said a couple of months ago, my thought is when you give me an opinion, just so you know, my first thought is, yeah, everyone's got a belly button. I mean, I value it and I factor it in. But you know what? I get 50 opinions. Thank you for your opinion and speak into my life. But everybody's got an opinion. But ultimately, I'm going to follow God and what he says. And if it bears witness, if it lines up with God's word, if it bears witness with my spirit, and you know, and that's just a confirmation. Otherwise, you know, thank you for your belly button. But here's the thing. We can overcome this but not be perfect in it, all right? As I said a couple of weeks ago, God is not expecting perfection. He is expecting passion. So let's serve him passionately. We'll never serve him perfectly, but let's serve him passionately, right? And the Holy Spirit is here to help us with that. So here, let's write this down. First off, how do we become more able to overcome a critical spirit? It's not going the other way and being all Pollyanna on this thing. You know who Pollyanna was? Everything was positive, and she saw the good in everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, I tend to lean towards that in my life. Kelly accuses me of that sometimes, you know, of that. And actually, I hate to even admit this because it sounds so silly, but actually Pollyanna is one of my favorite movies. I just love that movie. Can I just say that? Can a 56-year-old man say that? Yeah, I think I can. I just did. I love that movie just because of what she represents. I think this is such a sweet movie. You know, she's so positive. And I connect with that for some reason. But at the same time, I get critical. You know, so it's kind of weird. I just battle, like I read in Romans, where this battling between the flesh and the spirit. I don't want to do that. But I do, because I'm human, and as long as I got the breath and life in me, I'm going to battle with that. But it's not being this positive confession, Pollyanna, you know, hey, it's really hot outside. Yeah, but thank God for the sunlight, you know. I really hate the humidity. Yeah, but really, you know, at least we're not living in the North Pole. Or, you know, it's just, you always get these people saying, would you shut up? I just shut up. I mean, it's hot and it's humid. Let's leave it at that, okay? Don't you know, you just want to just kind of somehow just get them by the neck and put them against the wall and say, that's enough, and just drop them down. All right. So it's not being Pollyanna positive confession, but here's the first one. There's actually five things, and I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. It kind of tags off of that third one I just talked about, the root cause, and it's, first off is this. Let's see our own sin as God sees it. Let's see our own sin as God sees it. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, what's that word for? Oh, that's hard to say. Say it again. What? Huh? Say it one more time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As I said just a few moments ago, we are all sinners, and God sees us as sinners saved by grace if we're covered by the blood. If we're not covered by the blood, he sees us as sinners, not saved by grace. Those are the only two camps. It's not I'm related to someone, I try to live a good life, every once in a while I pray over my food and go to church. There's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're not, and you're covered by the blood or not. It's those two things. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no do-overs. Is that clear enough? And we see our sin as God sees it, yes, but at the same time we read Ephesians 3:18 and we realize that as much as of the gravity and the depth of our sin, we also see that we comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love for us. There's this measure that is there. By the way, it's unlimited in its height, it's unlimited in its depth, it's unlimited in its width, and it's unlimited in its length. There is no limits to God's love in your life, and there's no limits to his ability to forgive whatever you've done and wash you clean of all your sins. Isn't that good to know? We see who Jesus, we see our own sin as God sees it, but we also see that God can forgive it. And it helps us to realize, wait a minute, my perspective is I'm a sinner, and I'm not going to judge that person or be critical of them because I don't know where they are, which kind of leads me to the second point, is that we truly can't know others' motives. You know what? We have conversations with people. We see them on TV. We read articles. We see them driving down the street, or they're acting out in the grocery store or something like that. We don't even know these people, and we see what's going on. And we I don't know if you're this way, and if you are, it blows my mind. How do you do this? But you take a phrase that someone says or an action that someone does, and you take it right over here, and you draw a conclusion way over here where they must be a prostitute or something, you know, really, really awful over here. Or they must be, I don't know, they must be a criminal, or they must be angry. And we have no idea what's going on from here to here, but we draw the conclusion. And we think we got it all figured out. But here's the thing. We don't know other people's motives. We really don't know their hearts. You know what the Bible says? It says in Samuel. It says in 1 Samuel 6:17. And here's the setup for it. Is that Samuel was trying to look for the next king. And God sent him to Jesse's family. And he was trying to look at the different men, you know. Oh, surely it's this one, surely it's this one, surely it's this one. Hey, this is a good thing, a tall, handsome guy. That looks like a king. And God says, wait a minute. The Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance. Don't look at his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord doesn't see man as I see man. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, all we can see is the symptoms of what's going on. And we can draw conclusions based on our own abilities to put it together. We take that discernment, we pervert it, and we judge and we criticize. And we draw, most of the time, wrong conclusions, because we have no idea what's going on from the action to the actual what's going on in the heart, but God does. And that helps us if we just stop and pull back and say, wait a minute, I don't know what's going on in this person's life, so I'm not going to judge and criticize them. First off, it's not my place to judge, but I'm certainly not going to criticize. The better thing to do is to pray for them, wouldn't you say? Yeah, which actually is the third thing. Pray. Instead of criticizing, instead of saying, well, that person, blah, 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 Ephesians 6:18 says, pray for that person. Pray always, and with all prayer and with supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How many times is the word all in there? All prayers, all times, all saints, all times. There's no place for criticism in the day. It doesn't say, pray always with the prayer and supplication. Every once in a while you can criticize, but then you can be watchful to this end with all perseverance. But every once in a while you can judge, and application for all the saints, but sometimes not all the saints. It doesn't. It's pretty emphatic, isn't it? That we are to, at all times and all ways, in every, with all supplication, in every possible way we're praying. And that doesn't mean you're constantly on your knees, because sometimes it's kind of hard to do that while you're driving or working or whatever. But you can pray in the Spirit with understanding. You're just praying. And when that person on TV says what they say, when that conversation takes place on the phone, when that situation and an encounter takes place at whatever situation, instead of the first thing being, we go, Lord, you've called me to pray, because I don't know their motivation. And I'm going to pray for them, and I'm not going to judge them, because you're the judge. You're the righteous judge. You know what's going on in their hearts. I am looking at the outward. That's all I know. You know exactly what's going on in the core of their lives. And I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to be a critical person. I don't want to do in such a way where it's going to destroy me or them. You may say, well, I can be critical of someone on TV. Okay, it may not destroy them, but it's destroying you, because you're feeding the critical spirit. Stop feeding the critical spirit. It'll just make it bigger. Feed the spirit man in you and make him bigger. So as you're praying, pray not only for that person, but also pray for your response, because sometimes it requires a response, which leads us to the fourth thing, and that's this. We need to speak the truth in love. I talked about this just a few moments ago. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 is very clear in saying this. It says, speak the truth in love, as you speak the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Keep that up there for just a second. That's a beautiful scripture. Because here, listen to this. As we speak the truth in love, here's the results of it. I love this. As we speak the truth in love, Bruce, as we speak the truth in love to someone, that means we're speaking the truth. I'm telling it to you as it is, but it's in love. The motivation of my heart is love, because I want you to grow up in all things in him. My reason to speak to you right now, and what I'm doing, in fact, this message is speaking the truth in love. It's a way of saying, I want you to grow up in all things in him. If I'm blasting you, if I'm just flat out just pulverizing you. I'm speaking the truth, but it's out of a critical spirit. And you walk away picking up pieces, patching up holes. And you'll never forget it, will you? You'll never forget it. That conversation that I have with you, you'll never forget. So be nice. And we'll end with that. No. So be nice, yeah. Speak the truth in love. That's the fourth thing. We need to realize that God is calling us to pray for one another and to speak the truth in love. And finally, here's the last thing. This is a good one. Encourage. When you're speaking the truth in love, you're saying it in such a way where you're building up someone, right? And that is a cousin to encouragement. When I walk away from you and you're speaking the truth in love to me and you're building me up, I'm walking away encouraged. I'm walking away a little bit chastised and admonished. I needed it. Thank you. But I'm also encouraged because I know there's hope. I'm not devastated. I'm not hopeless. I'm not sitting here saying, well, why even try? Why even try to be better, to say things better, to do things better? Because I'm just in pieces here. I'm melted on the floor. But when you encourage one another, you're spurring one another to love and good deeds. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 talks about it. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting is the same word as encouraging or building up. And this is actually talking about, I love it, it's actually talking about coming together as the body of Christ. Church services. The modern day vernacular of it is as we come together as a group, as the body of Christ, we're coming together. And that can be on Facebook. We have social media. There's groups that are there on, you know, virtually speaking as well. Yes, here physically face to face, but any group that you have, we're to come together to build one another up and to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the return of the Lord, to build one another up, not to tear one another down. The Lord is not looking for you to be critical. He's looking for you to be an encourager. He's looking for you to see the good in others. He's looking for you to fan that good into flame. Whatever it is that's good in someone, build that up. You know, they probably know that they're a miserable, no good, whatever. They don't need you to tell them that. They need you to speak into their life. I see in you the glory of our God. I see in you a loving, compassionate heart. I see in you a giver. I see in you a server. I see in you someone who is this and that and the other. And you build that up and you encourage that. Wouldn't you rather have someone speak to you? I'm not talking about blowing smoke their way. I'm not talking about platitudes of just niceties. I'm talking about truly finding that is in that person's life, that God has placed in them as a gift for the body of Christ, and building that up and fanning that into flame. And know that the Lord is going to take care of the other stuff in their lives. I know that he's still working on me at 56 years old, and I hope he never stops. But I'm not like I was when I was 26 years old, I'll tell you that. And he's still working on me. Makes me what I ought to be, as the old song says. I want you to write down one more phrase as we close here today, and I'm going to ask Emma to come up and get on the piano for me. Write this down. It's pretty simple. Agree with God more and agree with yourself less. Just write that down. And in the parentheses there, it says, agree with God, which is discernment, more than you agree with yourself, which is criticism. See, when we agree with ourselves, I'm right. I know what I'm talking about. I. You're just feeding criticism. And you're actually relying on your own strengths and abilities. You think you know it all, and you think you got it all figured out. I hate to tell you this, but you don't. Christ in you does. And when you agree with God more, you're aligning yourself with the Holy Spirit in you as he's speaking to you and then through you that discernment into someone's life to build them up and to edify them and to make them all that Christ has them to be, so that they can in turn be part of the body of Christ and to build up and to contribute and to bring glory to Christ. A critical spirit, there's absolutely no place for it in the body of Christ. None. There's not one reason that I can give you. There's not one exception that I can allow. None. And yet we struggle with it, don't we? But the Holy Spirit is here to help us today to say, wait a minute. I don't feel good about myself. I know that I'm destroying people. I know that this is destructive. I know that this is not helpful. I'm tired of being part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. I'm tired of destroying people. I want to build people up. I want to be more that way than I am the other, right? Yeah. I am thankful that you have the gift of discernment in your life. Fan that into flame. But squash, destroy, crucify with your flesh the spirit of criticism. And let that be something that is subject to, constantly, the Spirit of the Lord in your life. You know, there's negativity, there's insecurity, there's immaturity, there's unrenewed minds, there's even Satan himself, who's the accuser of the brethren, by the way. Those things can be overcome. Discernment is a gift to the body of Christ. And it's ultimately there to edify us. It's there to build us up. It's there to equip us and to encourage us and to guide us to greater Christ-likeness and effectiveness in him. And I hope that you'll allow the Holy Spirit, that you'll yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to let that gift of the gift of the Spirit of discernment to rise up in you to edify the spirit of the body of Christ. We can't overcome that critical spirit. And it's not just a one-time shot. It's daily as we crucify ourselves with Christ and take up our cross daily and follow him. Amen? Amen? There's a list that I want to put up because I enjoy the opportunity to be able to interview and record people that are struggling with these particular things. And they're very authentic, you know, and I appreciate it. But rather than find a video on YouTube from some dude in Omaha, Nebraska that we don't know, let's see what we can do to, in our body, say, yeah, I'm dealing with this. And I know that's the fact that some of us are, because again, going back to the survey, some of you said you have been dealing with this. So here's the next one that I need some help with, or any of those actually. And I want you to write if any of those things pops out at you. Some of these are a little more challenging than others, like lust, you know, confess that you're dealing with lust, for example, and how the Lord is helping you to overcome it. But look at that list. And if any of those resonate with you, please reach out to me and say, Pastor, I would love to meet with you. I promise it'll take about 30 minutes of your time. And I'll record it, and then we'll make it real laid back and easy. Hopefully it's been easy for Eric and Jane. I've got some others that I've got on the can for other topics. But I need some people to come up with discouragement and greed and jealousy, laziness, lust, lying, not growing spiritually, and pridefulness. If the Lord is helping you to overcome those things, if you're dealing and struggling with those things, just reach out to me. That's my email address down there at the bottom. And say, Pastor, or call the church and say, hey, I'd love for you to interview me. And don't be afraid, because this is a no-judgment zone, right? We're not going to be critical, right? Because we're all sinners saved by grace, right? And we're all helping one another. And when you declare these things, it actually takes the power away, doesn't it? Doesn't it? When you make it known and say, oh, I'm dealing with this and the Lord is helping me, it just removes the power away from it. And it gives the glory and the power back to the Lord to help us through. Isn't that good?